Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, Alarmy, check out Alarmist on Patreon for ad-free episodes and bonus content. Do you think there are people, you know, because I've heard people say I didn't know about Travis Kelce until he started dating Taylor Swift. But do you think people are like, huh, I didn't know about Taylor Swift until he started dating Travis.
Yes.
She started dating Travis Kelce. I don't
smaller.
Think so.
I think I it's a smaller. So. No. I guarantee you there are some sports fans out there who have followed Travis Kelce's career for whatever, how long he's been around.
And, no. like, and are just
come on.
Finding out about Taylor Swift. Impossible.
Go to patreon.com/thealarmist and subscribe today. Now on to our episode.
I was born with a special gift. The ability to mentally transform any situation into the worst case scenario in my own brain. My therapist calls my gift catastrophizing. And that's why I'm uniquely qualified to scrutinize and analyze history's greatest disasters and find out who's to blame. They say history repeats itself. Not on my watch. My name is Rebecca Delgado Smith, and I am the Alarmist.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for tuning into The Alarmist, a comedy podcast where we talk about history's greatest tragedies and figure out who's to blame. Today, we're discussing the cancellation of Armie Hammer. Here's what you need to know. Armie Hammer, the actor whose irresistible looks made us swoon in films like The Social Network and Call Me By Your Name, was at the top of his game in 2020. But it was a quick and steep fall from grace after several women made sexual assault allegations against him, revealing that behind his handsome facade was a sinister secret. Armand, or Armie, Hammer, heir to the Hammer family dynasty, was born in Los Angeles in 1986. He lived the majority of his childhood in the Cayman Islands and later moved to Los Angeles, eventually dropping out of high school to pursue an acting career. With his immense privilege came an extremely dysfunctional family dynamic. His great-grandfather, Armand Hammer, was an oil tycoon who made his fortune after investing his third wife's inheritance into the Occidental Petroleum Company, an oil company that was failing at the time. Armand became one of the most powerful men of the 20th century, with deep ties to the White House and Buckingham Palace. Julian, his firstborn son and Armie's grandfather, was bright but disliked by his father. In 1955, on the morning of his 26th birthday, it is believed that he killed a man at his home over gambling debts and supposed advances on his wife. However, Julian's charges were all dropped after a $50,000 payment was made to a lawyer involved with the case.
Julian's only son, Michael, would later inherit his grandfather's oil company. In the 2015 memoir, Surviving My Birthright, written by Casey Hammer, Michael's sister, describes the abuse she suffered at the hands of her father, Julian, and the womanizing drug-fueled lifestyle he and her brother Michael had. She claimed she was not surprised when the bombshell allegations surfaced about her nephew, Army. In 2005, Army landed his first cameo on the sitcom Arrested Development and a small part on Veronica Mars. But it was his recurring role as Blake Lively's love interest in Gossip Girl that gave him the break he'd been hoping for. 4 years later, he was cast in David Fincher's The Social Network, playing twins Cameron and Tyler Winklevoss. These were the brothers who sued Mark Zuckerberg, claiming he stole the idea for Facebook from them. After a few box office flops, it was the indie romance Call Me By Your Name, opposite Timothy Chalamet, that gave Army's career a much-needed boost. He was back on the rise. In 2020, after 10 years of marriage and two children, Army's wife, Elizabeth Chambers, filed for divorce. She later put out a statement saying the couple had grown apart and were moving on from their marriage, but that they remained best friends and soulmates. In January 2021, more cracks appeared in Army's personal life. Dozens of screenshots of messages he had allegedly sent to multiple women were posted on an anonymous Instagram account. The shots showed the actor talking about disturbing sexual fantasies that included cannibalism and what he stated was BDSM. At first, the posts were dismissed by many as salacious celebrity gossip. But as more and more women shared their experience and bravely came out with allegations against Armie Hammer, it was clear that his sexual exploits were more than a bizarre kink. They were psychological, physical, and sexual abuse. Fun facts, aka death stats. A popular misconception is that the Hammers created the Arm & Hammer baking soda brand. Armand only invested in it after his bid to buy the company was rejected. Army was 35 years old when the allegations against him began in 2021. Death on the Nile was Armie Hammer's last film. At least three women accused Army of violent sexual assault, rape, and cannibalism, prompting a 9-month probe into the actor by the LAPD. In 2023, the disgraced actor admitted in an interview to being emotionally abusive, but maintained that his sexual encounters were consensual. Hammer also said he was in debt of $16 million from lost income and legal fees.
With us today, we have producer Clayton Early.
Hello.
Fact checker Chris Smith.
Hi.
And our very special guests today are dear friends, actors, writers, directors, podcasters, what don't they do? Rebecca Johnson and Gregory. Hi,
hi.
Welcome to the show.
Hi.
Thank you for having us.
Yay, thank you.
I want to tell our listeners about your podcast, and I want you to give them a little, you know, a little breakdown, a splash of of what they can expect from
a sprinkle
from listening to Non-Drinking Buddies, your new podcast that came out this year.
Yeah. So our podcast is called Non-Drinking Buddies, and Anne and I both quit drinking about a year ago. And so on our podcast, we talk to teetotaling guests about how they find the fun in a booze-free life. And so we have celebrities, experts, mostly sober folks, and they just talk to us about how much more fun their life is since they quit drinking and gave up hangovers forever.
Yay.
Wow.
Yeah, we're new to this, so we're learning every time we talk to somebody. We're learning new techniques, we're learning new things of why it's better for our bodies and our minds, and it's been great and very helpful for us.
And basically, we put alcohol in our alarmist jail.
Oh, good.
Yeah,
good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I want the alarmies to relate to us, so I'm going to speak your language.
It's just cooked over.
Yeah.
Well, we like to start off the show by asking our guests, what is something that's recently alarming you? What's something that's keeping you up at night?
At the same time.
Yes.
Yes. It should be exactly in sync.
Oh, okay.
I'll tell you. I'll tell you. I there's these teenage ruffians hanging out in my on my street, and they set fire to an abandoned shack and graffitied on my car and my dad's car.
Are you kidding me?
I'm not kidding. And they graffitied all different cars on our street.
Yeah.
And it's stressing me out.
Yeah.
And Rebecca's such a nice person that the like police officers came to her house and she's like, I don't want to do anything. I don't
the fire.
And I'm like, they're arsonists, Rebecca.
The fire is bad, but for graffiti, I was not going to press charges on graffiti. They're like, are you willing to press charges if we catch? I'm like, no. Not for graffiti. But the arson is not my thing. The arson is the most alarming thing.
Yes, that's very dangerous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I
mean, graffiti, give these guys a notebook. I mean, or girls, these guys are girls. They need some paper, I think, is the problem.
Yeah, and pens.
Sure. Yeah. But arson, what are you doing?
What kind of shack was it that they lit on fire?
It was an abandoned shack. It was kind of like someone's shed that then had broken glass and it was filled with trash. So it's kind of been an eyesore on the street. I did not pay these teenagers to set it on fire.
Maybe they were protesting
That's why you're not pressing charges.
It was kind of a wild situation. And I think I saw the kids who did it because we had family bingo night at school. And I had I actually had Anne's kids. I was babysitting them because she was on a date night. And
thank you for that.
I pulled the car in and I had three kids come out of my car. I saw two teens and I thought, they're probably going to go like smoke pot in this little corner by my house that kids smoke pot in. And I was like, all right, whatever. They saw me with three children. Walked in the house about like half hour, 40 minutes later, we start smelling fire. A fire truck came. And then in the morning, the very car they saw me get out of with three children.
That's wrong. Those teens.
Teens.
What are they doing? I can't believe they set the fire after they saw you.
Yeah.
It's like there's one thing to be like, oh, no one's around. Let's do it. But then they saw you go in the house. That's unbelievable. And
kids,
so dangerous.
Kids these days.
Fires spread. I'm really upset. Mm-hmm. Upset for you. But this is a perfect transition into this dumpster fire of a situation. Yes.
Good segue.
Very good segue. One of our best, actually. We should stop recording.
That was really good.
Podcast.
Okay,
I know. Now. This is
we're
it.
Done. Thanks for joining us today. It was a great episode.
I mean, do you all remember when this all went down? I want 2021. I mean, we were all at home looking at our phones.
Yes.
So we had plenty of time to go down rabbit holes. And I think you said you went down a serious rabbit hole.
Huge. That ended in some dark stuff. Like, at first I was like, cannibalism, that's kind of fun. Not really fun, but you know. And then the more I read about I thought it, like at first
that's
it was like.
That's what lured you in there, huh, Anne? Cannibalism.
Well, she gets the newsletter and that's, you know, that was that month's, you know, headline. Yeah.
Yeah.
It just got darker and darker and darker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I honestly, you know, I don't remember when this happened. I realized that when it all went down, we were in Canada, Chris. We were living in Canada. And I think we were.
I remember that.
They don't have the news there.
No.
Oh, that's right.
That's why they're so happy and fun and chill.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Just
instead of
drinking
TVs.
Labatt's.
Yeah, it's just a pine tree stump that they put in.
We watch trees grow in Canada.
Yeah, that's nice.
But no, that, and of course then you hear all of the little tidbits of conversation where people are like, you know, Army Hammer cannibal, but this is so much darker than just cannibalism.
Yes. Oh yeah.
It goes so
much deeper too. I think that's what's kind of surprising about when you start digging, and you might know that.
And if you like, you don't really imagine you're going to go darker than cannibalism. You know what I mean? You think that's pretty dark.
Right. Yeah.
And then to get to go many more layers and be like, wow, this is a terrible story.
Generational trauma.
Yep.
So
it's
why
like
don't
a terrible onion just feel every layer.
It's rotted.
It's rotted. It's so rotted.
Moldy onion.
Yeah. That's a perfect
metaphor. Should we put moldy onions on the board?
Do it.
I like it.
Yeah, moldy onions. Okay.
I feel like we should start off by talking about, you know, this family, the Hammer family. Mm-hmm. And we'll get into all the other details, but it just feels like there are so many generations of bad men that were part of this family.
Oh, my God.
And
yes.
There's so many of them. We're going to have to break it down by perp. Okay.
Yes.
Because we can't just put men on the board, as I've learned from doing this podcast.
No, you'll get emails.
Yeah.
They'd be on the board every week.
It gets repetitive. That's right.
Okay. Yeah.
So I feel like, let's start off by putting the generations of bad Hammer men.
Okay.
Yes.
Bad Hammers.
Bad Hammers. And the first one is Julius Hammer. It's going to get confusing because they have the same name.
Okay.
But there's Julius Hammer, and mm-hmm. this is from Business Insider. Julius was a Russian immigrant who lived in the Bronx and was convicted of first-degree manslaughter and later imprisoned in 1919 after performing an abortion on a Russian diplomat's wife who died days after the procedure. The family's business activities, however, start with Julius's son, Armand. Okay, so this is... Okay. The person who, you know, gathered or made all of their wealth was mm-hmm. his son, Armand. Mm-hmm. Julius was a doctor. He was apparently a leader in the communist movement, was an agent for the KGB. He was a Soviet spy.
Okay.
So Julius.
And abortionist.
The manslaughter was an abortion gone wrong.
Yes.
Okay. Got it. Okay.
So he has a son, Armand. Mm. Armand, then, who is, as we know, is Army's great-grandfather.
Yes. Okay, with the same name, but yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. So this is from Vanity Fair. Armand had multiple mistresses, including Martha Kaufman.
Okay.
This is not even the worst thing, obviously, he's done, but this is just, here are some snippets.
Just some backstory.
Yeah. A mother of two. So Martha Kaufman, a mother of two who divorced her husband after meeting Armand and whom he put on Occidental's payroll as an art consultant. When Armand's wife, Frances, grew suspicious, Armand had Martha legally change her name to Hillary Gibson, insisting, according to Epstein, that his mistress wear wigs, glasses and makeup to change her appearance. The affair lasted over a decade, with Armand promising to take care of her and her children after he died. She later told Epstein, per the biographer, she drove a car with a homing device, used a tapped phone, and submitted to his sexual demands even when they were extremely humiliating. When Armand died, she learned that he had left her out of his will. This is one, just one of the explicit. this is just one of this just shows you how much control this man had over the people, you know, around him.
In
the fact
life.
That he got caught with a mistress and instead of telling his wife, okay, I'll leave the mistress. I'm going to change her identity so that you don't realize that I'm still dating the same person.
Did she have to change up the wigs a lot or did she wear the same wig for 10 years?
I think question. She had the same blonde wig as the photo I've seen her in.
It sounds like an episode of The Americans.
Yes. All of this. Wig changes.
All of this. Wig changes.
Even the Russian spy. I'm like, wow, we're really
crazy.
So it goes deeper. This is from time. Armand was reportedly controlling toward at least one of his lovers and convinced her to submit to preferences in the bedroom, which were not comfortable for her. His grandson, Michael, reportedly also had tendencies that veered toward kink, with a memorable sex throne described in the Vanity Fair story. So we'll talk about that later.
Okay.
Wow.
According to the report, Armand, who became close associates with many high-powered figures, including Prince Charles and Colonel Gaddafi, was also known for his involvement in wide-ranging grifts, including money laundering, using artwork to fund Soviet espionage, and bribing his way into the oil business. In the new docuseries, House of Hammer, which is very good, I recommend people watch, which focuses on the family's controversies throughout the years, Armin's granddaughter, Casey, says that growing up, her grandfather was obsessed with maintaining the family's pristine public image. Per Casey, Armin had files on all of her friends and romantic partners. He would even record their phone calls to make sure she and other Hammer family members were behaving appropriately. Both the Vanity Fair story and House of Hammer mention Armin's other questionable activities, including forcing his mistress to change her name, wear a disguise, and keep the homing device in the car after Armin's wife found out about the affair, and making an illegal contribution to the Nixon campaign that reportedly helped cover up Watergate.
That was later pardoned by H.W. Bush.
Yes.
He was pardoned by H.W. Bush?
Yes.
What?
It's just political.
And you mentioned an Epstein before. That's not the Epstein. That's a different Epstein. Just
that
to clarify.
That is a biographer. Yes.
Got it. Great. Okay, cool.
With an unfortunate name.
Yeah.
That sucks. He comes out in the documentary. He's an older gentleman who spent a lot of time with Armin.
Right? Yeah.
Doing a story.
Wow.
So
Armin up on the board as... This guy clearly built up the wealth of this family, but also perhaps based on this theory, started what was a culture of control.
Yes.
I guess.
Yes.
And sexual control.
Yes. Yeah. And disregard, like real just like disregard for.
And manipulation.
Women.
Manipulation.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's all like sociopathic or, you know, but also his dad also. And who knows what goes beyond?
We don't know. Yeah, we don't know.
And also he started this bribing his way into the oil industry. And what you sent before he took that money from his wife, the inheritance, to do that.
Yes. Yeah, so
took
a
risk.
This was his third wife, and she happened to be very wealthy, and he used her money to get this company, which was failing at the time, and he built it back up, and that's how he made his money, his fortune.
Okay.
So then there's his son, Julian Hammer.
Okay. Mm. It's good they name each other. They name after all these evil fucks.
Yes.
Yeah.
I have Mussolini. I have Napoleon. Those are my children. Custer. These Stalin. Are my children. Yeah.
So we have another Julian. The first one was Julius, but this one's Julian.
Okay.
And Armin. Armin is said to not have cared much for Julian.
Well, surprising.
Because he. Quote, caused too much trouble.
Mm.
In 1955, Julian was arrested on suspicion of killing a man at his Los Angeles home on the morning of his 26th birthday. The charges were later dismissed because Armand had $500,000 in cash delivered to a lawyer before the charges were, and then the charges were dropped.
Wow.
In the documentary, Casey recalled being in her father's house. Casey is Julian's daughter. So there's Michael and there's Casey. We haven't talked to Michael yet. So Casey recalls being in her father's house during his raucous parties, which allegedly included underage women and bowls of cocaine. Casey was also alleged that Julian sexually abused her as a child. Ugh. And she made the allegation in her self-published 2015 memoir, Surviving My Birthright, and also said Julian was abusive to other members of the family.
Wow.
Point I wanted to make about Julian, too, that I thought was interesting from the House of Hammer documentary is that the biographer Epstein made the point of pointing out that Julian was the result of Armin's first marriage to a woman named Olga in Russia. And when he came back to the States and in the communism scare, he was trying to really distance himself from his like Russian background. It didn't really fit into his like American persona. Mm-hmm. So Julian was just like a literal manifestation of that marriage. And resulted in him kind of trying to like hide that is what the way Epstein put it. From
he rejected him at first, right? Clayton.
He took a paternity test to see if he was even his son, which he was.
Oh, wow.
What an a-hole.
So just like imagine that. I don't know how that like translates into how you're interacting with your father-son dynamic every day, oh, but God. Surely it's not healthy.
No. That's got to be deeply scarring.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
So Julian is kind of this hot mess that is has these two children. Mm. Mm. But there's Michael, and he's the one who is
Army's Julian's father.
Okay. Son and Armin's okay. father.
And Julian's son, yes.
Yeah. Yes. Okay.
Okay.
So when Armin died in 1990, Hammer's father and Casey's brother, this is all confusing because they're all Hammers. When Armin died in 1990, Michael inherited almost all of the family's business empire, wow. which is estimated to be worth more than $180 million. That was at the time. Casey was given $250,000, she
what?
Said. And Julian.
Just put men on the board. I'm just going to say, just put men on the board.
Money.
Gross.
True, money and
her
men.
Her father, so it skipped a generation.
Yeah.
Armin left his entire fortune to his grandchild, his grandson.
Okay, because he didn't Michael. Want Julian to get it.
I guess. He gave him, okay. yes. And he didn't want Casey as well to get it. So, okay. Julian, I think, received $500,000.
Okay.
So that's all he got from the inheritance. Okay. Along with the cash fortune, Michael also inherited Knoedler Gallery. Is that how you say it? Knoedler. Knoedler Gallery, a commercial art gallery in New York City. Knoedler founded in 1846 and was New York's most venerated institution. In 2009, however, the gallery made headlines after its president and Friedman stepped down as rumors about the origins of many of the gallery's paintings began to emerge within the art world. 2 years later, the gallery collapsed after an FBI investigation uncovered that between 1994 and 2009, a slew of paintings had been made by abstract expressionist masters like Jackson Pollock, Mark Rothko, Willem de Kooning, were sold by the gallery to buyers for millions of dollars and were in fact fakes.
Whoa.
Wow.
Okay.
And they were accused of selling 63 forged paintings.
Okay.
That is a lot.
That actually seems cool to me because they're like fleecing other rich people. So I can give them a pass for that one.
Okay. So we're not going to even look at that. But
cool.
Don't worry, Anne. There's more.
There's just a touch of... There's just a dash of Robin Hood in that one. Yeah, so yeah. We're going to kind of let that go.
There's more. This is from Vanity Fair. For years, three people claimed Michael boasted about a sex throne or a naughty chair, as he called it.
Oh, naughty. Oh.
Gross.
Right.
That he kept in Armin Hammer in the Armin Hammer Foundation headquarters in Carpinteria, a warehouse where two people claim Michael lived for several years after his divorce.
A warehouse?
Yeah, I guess.
Oh, he would go to the outlet malls and then have weird sex. Mm. No, that's Camarillo. Sorry, guys.
Camarillo. Oh, yeah, get your outlets straight.
Yeah, come on.
Jesus. I'm
We're
shameful.
We're going to put you on the board. We are going to put you on the board.
Cabazon. Sorry. Oh, okay.
Too many C's. The structure, about 7 feet high, features a chair with a hole in the seat, a cage underneath, and a hook.
What?
A hook?
Yeah. What's the hook for?
You know, I don't even know. Who wants
hanging
to
up your coat?
Know.
I'm just going to go with hanging up your coat.
Okay. Hold on. I lost my place.
Sorry.
Okay. The Hammer coat of arms, the same one that for years adorned the exterior of the headquarters, is painted on the seat. In one photo, Michael sits atop the throne, grinning while holding the head of a blonde woman sitting in the cage and also smiling. In response to Vanity Fair's questions about Michael's sex throne, drugs and alcohol uses, finances and history with women, Claire, counsel for Michael Hammer and the Armin Hammer Foundation, said, quote, "These questions, which ask about unsolicited gag gifts sent by friends, conduct that sounds pretty typical of recently divorced people and entirely legal financial transactions that were properly accounted for are absurd." One former friend who knew of the sex throne said that when he heard about Army's alleged kinks, quote, "I was not the least bit surprised."
So wait, question. So there was a photographic evidence
of the throne.
Oh my goodness.
Of what he called sex throne.
Here's a good place where we can distinguish between kink, which is
Let's talk about that.
Yes. Okay, yes, please.
Consensual. It's consensual.
Consent, yes. Which is consent is the key here, right?
Right.
Okay, so the difference between kink and assault. Let's just like distinguish
here.
Yeah. And that's the thing,
who doesn't have a throne in their house that they
Guys bought me one because friends buy each other.
Well, it's a gag gift.
It's pretty normal. Normal gift.
I give that to everyone who gets divorced.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's a gag.
Okay. Yeah.
It's a family crest. You put it on there. It's like, we have a guy that makes them.
Yeah, we know a guy if you need one.
Yeah. Several size hooks. Lots of hooks. Yeah. Captain Hook. Claire, though, that lawyer Claire, though, it's one thing to say kink. A kink can be, you know, totally consensual and fine, and people can do whatever they want sexually as long as everyone agrees to do the thing. Mm-hmm. But the idea that this lawyer, like how, like Claire saying, like, it's just a normal gag gift and normal behavior, that goes a little too far. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, like we don't, like, why are you going so far to pretend that this is what every divorced person
does?
Yes.
It's insane. Like,
you're protesting a little too much.
Yeah, you're normalizing. Let's see it.
And also, like, just to go to the kink thing, like, so the dad, like, there was Julian and what's her name, the daughter,
Casey.
So there was, you know, sexual abuse there. Chances that Michael had the same thing, very high,
right?
And you know, that is not consensual if it happens to like a child. Like the fact that these kinks are consensual, like, no, certain things like BDSM can be consensual, but like certain things like that, where there are power dynamics and things happen to you when you cannot consent, not consensual. And there's something going on in this family that is absolutely
for sure. It definitely feels like that. Maybe we put up on the board obsession with public image.
I like that.
Because it sometimes could mean there's something that they're trying to hide there. So
Always. Yeah.
But you had a section you wanted to read about BDSM, Rebecca.
Well, should we talk about BDSM or Armie Hammer first? Because he needs to go up on the board. Let's talk about the things he did, and then we'll talk about how this was not BDSM.
Okay.
Yes.
Great. Okay. So this is from Vanity Fair. Lorenz, who was one of this is Paige Lorenz, who was his ex-girlfriend after he got the divorce. Lorenz broke things off with Armie after, quote, he started making rules for me of things I could and couldn't do, who I couldn't have over, who I couldn't. He told me that I couldn't have anyone else in my bed. And then I just started to feel really unsafe and really sick to my stomach about things. I was also emotionally dependent on him. Lorenz ended the relationship over text because you never know what you're going to get with him. He's kind of a scary person. This is from Yahoo. Paige Lorenz revealed that Hammer had been abusive toward her as well. Lorenz and Hammer dated for 4 months in 2020. She too sought therapy to get over the psychological damage she went through during her time with her ex-boyfriend. In an interview with Page Six, she stated, there were red flags throughout the relationship. I guess I just put them to the side and he made me feel so confident at times. This is from E! News. Artist Julia Morrison read a text Hammer purportedly sent to her detailing a fantasy he had in which someone allowed him to tie her up in public to see, quote, and I apologize for this language, if they'll fuck strangers for me as a way of proving their devotion to him. This is through DMs. So this he's Instagramming. They've never met. This is a woman that he's just DMing with.
If you're just saying that through DMs, like, imagine when you get closer to the person. It's all about control and power dynamics. That's gross. Yeah. Okay.
Through DMs, she said he would compliment her modeling photos, singling out one that depicted Julia being choked, and shared his fantasies. Quote, you don't think or worry about anything except being a good little pet. He allegedly wrote to her, my own personal little slave. Toward the end of the series, she reflects, I'm really grateful Armie and I didn't meet up. So this is someone he
all
never met.
All through DMs. Wow.
Now,
wow.
Going back to his relationship with Paige Lorenz, this is from E! News. She told Dr. Oz that Army told her he wanted to find a doctor in L.A. who would remove some of her ribs so he could smoke them and eat them. He was obsessed with meat, she said. Oh, I brushed it off. I brushed it off, but I do believe that he was serious. One night, Paige said, Army asked her where on her body he could carve his initials. Mm. She didn't answer, she said, but he proceeded to cut a small A into her skin.
Ooh. What? And so he's branding her like Nexium style.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Ooh. Okay.
And there's a picture of the purported wound. Those in Army's camp mainly blame the scandal on the unverified gossip account, Dumois.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which published and proliferated its Army claims to more than 750,000 users in January. Quote, you used to have to verify facts before making allegations like this, said one friend, speaking on the condition of anonymity. He's been attacked from all different angles on unverified claims. It's hard for people around him to watch this. It's also important to note that no one was actually accused. No one has actually accused Army of acting on his alleged cannibalistic fantasies.
Yeah.
And he has never confirmed the texts are his own. But the impulses he purportedly described in messages to various women are unsettling at best. These are quotes from texts. Quote, I'm 100% a cannibal. Fuck. That's scary to admit. I'd never...
Wow, so vulnerable.
For who is it scary for?
Yeah. It totally does seem like, just like, oh, what a brave guy. Yeah. Oh, God.
I mean, it goes on. I don't even want to read them because they're so gross.
Dude.
And you can find them all online.
Getting back to the generational trauma, though, like there's no past for what he's doing. He's disgusting, but there's something happened to him. There's no way he
and
didn't.
We should put that on the board. Did you put generational trauma on the board?
Yeah, I'm going to. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is like a messed up family, to say the least.
Yeah, like having like your grandfather and your father and all of that, like publicly be talking about how they shame people into doing sexual acts, even if you haven't been assaulted, just that being something that's like, you look up to, it's just like really toxic.
I think what's also kind of scary about it is the combination of that kind of generational trauma or like abuse and the money aspect, like the power of it all. So there's like a feeling of elitism, a feeling of I can do whatever I want. There has been like bribes and payoffs and just basically like a culture of like no accountability.
Right. Yes. They've been able to get away with murder.
Literally, they have.
Yeah.
They've helped to fund different political causes and get things done. Like,
How do we, because money to me just feels kind of broad, but what do we, like, is it just like the, how do we encapsulate that on the board?
Almost like the lack of accountability.
Yeah.
Is that...
That for sure. I think should be on the board.
Maybe this will help. So I was going to put up unresolved trauma, but I feel like maybe it's both.
Maybe generational trauma. Yeah, yeah.
Because, you know, obviously we all know the saying, hurt people hurt people, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So this is from Vanity Fair. According to Courtney Vucikovic, Army was, this is one of his ex-girlfriends who later accused him of sexual abuse. Army was on a flight out of the Cayman Islands, escaping the intense lockdown situation last June. This was during 2020, when he messaged her on Instagram for the first time. The DMs came fast and furious. The actor immediately spilled about the tense situation with what he described as his crazy family, describing near fist fights with his father and a short-lived escape plan that involved taking a fishing boat to Cuba.
Wow.
Okay.
Within the first 5 minutes, he was basically like, this all goes back to my horrible childhood, said Courtney, the owner of an on-demand glam app called Flashed. It's not the most romantic thing, but we bonded over past trauma. So this this was a manipulation tool that he used often with many of his later girlfriends.
And abusive people do that. They often find people's vulnerabilities, make them feel safe. And they're actually kind of seeing, oh, did you experience trauma before? Then I can get away with
it. Oh, so it's almost like a way of getting to know you is if by expressing their own trauma.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Other people will feel comfortable, express their trauma, and then they have
and then
something.
They use it against
you weaponize
them.
Wow. It,
yes. It's a way of grooming.
Gross.
It's like a
That's
grooming
tactic. Disgusting.
Yeah.
This is from the Hollywood Reporter. Of the alleged childhood trauma, Hammer said, what that did for me was it introduced sexuality into my life in a way that it was completely out of my control. I was powerless in the situation. I had no agency in the situation.
Wait, so Army was saying that.
Yes.
Which makes me think something like if he didn't at least see something happened as a child to him, that generational stuff. Yeah.
Right. No one talked about it in the documentary. If he, I don't know if he experienced any abuse as a child or anything, but it does seem like something happened.
Something, or he just saw his dad or something, just something.
It also is like that trauma, because lots of people are victims of this kind of trauma and don't go on to threaten
That's
to eat
right.
people.
Absolutely.
But there is an element of like, you know, if you experience a certain kind of trauma when you're young, your brain, like your personality can split. Like you can definitely have trauma where it really does affect your brain. So it doesn't let him off the hook, but it is something that can happen as a survival mode to have For like sure. borderline situation or, you know.
Oh,
these
I see.
People, like there's certain personality issues that are created by trauma.
Yeah.
In a real way.
Mm-hmm. We put then like something along the lines of, you know, just like mental health or all. And also I think there's room on the board for something that kind of encapsulates the like really extreme like manipulation tactics or their manipulation ability almost.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. Yeah. I mean, this is definitely a family that needed help a long time ago.
And needed to stop having kids. They needed to like just...
take a
break.
But Rebecca, what you're talking about, I think like cluster B, is that what it's called? Those personality traits like narcissism,
borderline
and all of those things. Oftentimes those people don't seek out therapy themselves. So it's a tricky situation.
And then it's not totally treatable, some of them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. So how do we, in like not
like
getting
untreated,
help?
Untreated
mental illness.
Yeah.
We can put that on the board.
I also want to, Chris, because you wanted to talk about BDSM, and I feel I'd...
You make it sound like I've been looking it up online.
Chris, you seem really interested this whole time.
You know, we're not going to shame you. It's like pink shame is one of the reasons he got away with this stuff. So we're not going to shame you, right?
But don't eat Rebecca's ribs. Just don't.
Yes, please don't. Eat her ribs.
Not BDSM.
She makes a delightful pork rib.
Yeah.
So eat those.
Pig ribs are fine.
That's fine.
Well, I was thinking on the board we could put it up as not BDSM because he claimed that this was all fair game, but it was not the case.
Like
this
fake BDSM.
Like using BDSM almost to manipulate and control.
Right.
This is from the Vanity Fair article. The public has not been educated on how to view those who engage in BDSM practices. In addition, those who have heard of the BDSM community may have a negative opinion of those who engage in such practices, said Gloria Alred. This was the lawyer who represented the victims. She noted that even if adults, quote, consent to some BDSM practices, they still have a right to withhold consent to other practices. Part of the problem is that the victim is extremely vulnerable and trusting, she said, and is often taken advantage of by sexual predators who know that many of their victims will be afraid to report the crimes against them for fear of being blamed and shamed and not believed when they say that they did not consent to crimes against them. This is from Entertainment Weekly. To me, it's obvious that Armie Hammer chose people who didn't have any experience in BDSM because it gives him an advantage to prey upon these people. Damiana Chi, a professional dominatrix and BDSM educator, says in the doc, quote, they're more easily coerced. They don't know what BDSM really is. The traditional model of BDSM is safe, sane, and consensual, she says, noting that safety and trust are the foundation, whereas Hammer appeared to get off on fear.
He kind of flipped it too. Yeah. He like, what was interesting about that is that she goes on to explain that, like, you know, BDSM is generally rooted in the subs fantasies, the submissive partners fantasies. And he kind of came at it from like, he's the dominant, and there was no even like, it seemed like there was no conversation with the submissive, you know, you're kind of forced into that and like, do what I say as the dominant. But it's like, that's the status problem. Right. It's
yeah.
Like,
the power dynamic is off. And also he is an attractive actor, extremely wealthy.
Yes.
So reaching out to people in your DMs, like, I'm sure there was an element of like, oh my God, Armie Hammer's reaching out, you know?
Right.
And then it, you know, goes like ticks up the intensity over time. And the power dynamic is definitely at play.
I think we should put that on the board, the power dynamic, because I feel like one thing that was really apparent watching this, and I think it's important to like honor the victims, is exactly that. How it seems, I think they get so much like shit, basically, like, how could you let this happen kind of thing. But the manipulation, the emotional abuse, the like status thing, all of that,
yeah,
it's so easy. And it happens to so many people, and it's easy to criticize, like, why would you let that happen to you until you're being manipulated like that? And
right. And they also, I mean, one of the victims explained, like, at some point he would make her feel really confident and probably very loved and safe at certain times. And then they love bomb you, and then they go back to the abuse. So like, it's a cycle, and it happens in, this was just a very big example of it, but it happens in many relationships, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's a predator is what that is. And the fact that he put them in situations where the victims later felt like it was their fault,
mm-hmm.
or like they were the ones that ended up feeling embarrassed or shameful,
right, right.
and didn't want to talk about it because they felt like they had somehow done this. That's terrible.
And that's all orchestrated.
Yeah.
That's all created by him. Like, yeah, that's a typical thing. Like, I always wonder, I'm like, do assaulters all like go to the same school to learn how to do this? Because somehow they have that same like grooming thing, gaslighting, like that quality of that power dynamic and manipulation.
Yes.
Like, how the hell do they all learn the same shit?
My God, that's so true.
Yeah, and then the victims, the blaming yourself is sometimes a strange way of taking your power back, because you're like, oh, well, maybe I had agency. It's just a way of making sense of it as you process it until you can come to the point of being like, no, this was not my fault. But that takes time, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think also, who said it? Anne, I think you said it earlier. The important thing too is like all the embarrassment, like kind of like the puritanical nature, like you don't want to admit it because then you're admitting that you're like a sexual being, like all of that kind of like shame that comes with like the sex culture that prevents you from like advocating or having agency to like admit that you were assaulted.
Right, because we live in a culture where it's like, what were you wearing that contributed to you?
Exactly.
You know? Yes, yes. And it's like, well, if what were you doing? Right before, you know, it's like,
what
if
did
you're
you say?
Already agreeing to some of it, then you're definitely not going to be seen as the victim.
Should we put kink shaming up on the board?
Yeah. I think that had a lot to do with it. Yeah. And I love that BDSM educator was like, no, like, it's about, you know, consent and sanity and like, you know, and you talk about everything. And and that's not what was going on with him.
No, okay, so we're running out of time, unfortunately.
There's so many layers here.
I know.
It's the what is the onion?
The moldy onion.
Moldy onion. It's just moldier and moldier. Ugh.
Yeah, it's getting more gross.
Is there any other things that we want, that we feel like we need to get up here before we transition, though?
I mean, I just want to put up like selfish privilege. Just like maybe that, that. Because there's something to the fact, and we were talking about this earlier, where he just felt like he could get away with it. It's a family that just for generations got away with it. Yep. And he was so bold.
Yes.
Crazy. Yeah, I'm really surprised that he just like without ever meeting up, started talking about some of this stuff. That is bonkers to me.
Mm-hmm. I was just going to say, I don't know, before I move on, another thing that stood out was just kind of like the, I guess it goes into like the public image, but like the Hammer name was like all over. They like contributed to museums. They're like,
yeah, have do they parks have the named Hammer after Museum?
Them. Yeah. I think they do that's have the their Hammer Museum, Museum. In Westwood.
Right? Which I think contributes to this idea of like a real inflated sense of self that is passed down generational. Mm-hmm. Like Army, even when he was being interviewed by this biographer, like wanted to meet at a plaque in one of the parks that was named after his family. So like there's something there that's just kind of like the like an unearned invincibility or like you know what I mean? It's just like larger, like somehow above other humans. Like you feel like you are better than other people.
Like
maybe self
superiority complex.
Yeah, superiority complex. That's it.
There you go.
Yeah, and it's the priorities are off in the family. Yeah. Obviously, they're not on being a loving, caring, like you know, community. Their priorities are like their name, their money, and their power and domination of sexual partners.
Yeah. So okay, I feel like we have a really big board. We're running out of time. Let's take a quick break and we're going to start knocking things off the board.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Who's to blame for the cancellation of Army Hammer? Is it Moldy Onions, the Hammer family, generations of bad Hammer men, Julius Hammer, Armand Hammer, Julian Hammer, Michael Hammer, Army Hammer, men, money, obsession with public image, unresolved generational trauma, lack of accountability, untreated mental illness, not/fake BDSM, toxic power dynamic, kink shaming, selfish privilege, or superiority complex.
Big board.
Yeah.
I think we could probably knock off the men and money thing because it's so general.
Right.
And a lot of those things are folded into some of the other.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I do feel like we can fold at least Julius, Armin, Julian, and Michael under generations of bad Hammer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Moldy Onions. I love it, but you know.
Well, it is a perfect metaphor.
It's a metaphor, for sure.
It's a metaphor, but not maybe doesn't deserve to go to jail. Do you think Hammer family could be folded into generations of bad Hammer men?
Yes,
I don't know that we're blaming the women here.
In fact, I think it was terrible to be a woman in that family.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, they'd take your money, they'd cheat on you, they would.
They were abused. They were verbally abused. Yeah. They were told they would be penniless and abandoned. Yeah, it's real power dynamic.
Oh God.
I think the obsession with public image is a contributing factor, but I don't think it's the biggest factor that Armie Hammer became Armie Hammer. It was a little deeper than
it was.
That.
It seemed like it was a symptom of their bad behavior, right?
Yes.
Like they trying to cover up
oh, yeah.
what they knew mm-hmm, they were yeah. doing.
Yeah. And mm-hmm. right. It didn't cause them to do
no,
the bad
exactly.
things.
Exactly. Yeah. They weren't bad because they were just good.
No. unresolved generational trauma and untreated mental illness.
They could be folded in.
I think, well, yeah. right? I think to the generations of bad hammer men, I think that like they're both part of that.
Yeah.
I think the kink shaming.
Yes.
It feels like it's putting blame on society rather than on the sure. person who did it.
Oh.
I don't think that it's good to have kink shaming in our world, but I don't know that the other people shaming kink is to blame for someone.
No, right. no. Doing it's it. Just yeah. one of the reasons he was able to get away from it. For
exactly.
A while.
Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yep.
A toxic power dynamic.
This is stuff that folds in like lack of accountability, power dynamic, superiority to complex all kind of yeah. fold into this kind of like the culture of the hammers, you know?
Ooh. Mm.
Culture of the hammers.
We need to change that.
I yeah, think cultural
of the hammer men. Culture of the hammer men.
What were you going to say, Chris?
Yeah, no, I was going to say maybe we can also the toxic power dynamic also kind of gets rolled into this fake BDSM. I feel like he used in his messages the kind of cover of BDSM.
Mm-hmm. Right. This is what I'm into. It's not me just being
right. But without being upfront about saying like, this is what I'm into. Like that would have been another thing. He's like, look, this is what I'm into. Can I, you know, like, do I have permission to cross this right, boundary right. with you? And I know, you know, it's, that's the thing is that like, it feels like he gaslighted these women into thinking that all of his communications, like it's, as long as he mixes in some compliments, like he can kind of say anything he wanted to kind of mm-hmm. figure out his boundaries. But as these experts talk about, you have to have full consent and be fully aware of the world you're entering into.
Yes. Well,
right?
Yeah.
From and my understanding, it's very planned.
Yes.
Sexual experience.
Yes. And he specifically, as you mentioned before, like went after people who weren't in the BDSM community.
Right. So exactly.
To take advantage of their lack of knowledge of BDSM.
Right.
I mean, it's different to act out a fantasy versus a kind of almost say you really want to do this thing. You know, it's like a different thing to like do one of those scenarios, like create a scenario and.
Mm-hmm.
I
think to Chris's point too, from what we know based on like the text and the stuff that were shared, is that there were notes of like dropping. He talked about like certain types of like rope tying that were like, you know, before mm-hmm. they related to be. So there were like hints of him kind of like saying, I'm into this, but there was never the like, can we have this conversation? It was kind of like right. a pushing. And if there was any kind of like rushing off or uncomfortability, there was no acknowledging that and being like, maybe we should, it was just like, I'm going to keep pushing until I yes. get what I no. want, kind of, which goes back into the power.
Yeah, the dynamic. Power. And also he would get off on that, you right. know, yeah. On pushing boundaries and overstepping boundaries.
Right.
You
know? It's like an evil Christian Grey from 50 Shades of Grey.
Yes.
Yeah. So selfish privilege, I feel, falls into the culture of Hammer.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And yeah, the superiority complex.
And yes. the lack of accountability
is also
culture.
Yep.
Yes.
And then sure. and then the generational trauma would go under the culture because that is the, you know, or, yes. well, I know they could be. I feel like generational trauma is something that you don't necessarily have power over, like you know, the Irish potato famine, and then beyond that there's like lack mentality or whatever. I don't know, I'm oversimplifying things, but they decided to keep on making bad choices, so
that's mm-hmm. the thing. So you, there's lots separate. Of generational yeah. trauma yeah. there's the people lots of people have generational trauma because their people were oppressed or something and they're not doing this
right.
Yeah,
so really I think we folded into yeah.
So yeah. we're left with three that I like: the culture of the hammer men, Army Hammer himself, and fake BDSM.
Mm-hmm.
what are we going to send to the alarmist jail and what are we going to give the big slap to?
I think the jail is the culture of the Hammermen.
Yes.
I would like to offer the slap go to fake BDSM. So, but then that would leave Army Hammer.
I know, I don't like that.
That feels wrong.
That feels wrong.
I don't like that.
It feels really wrong. I just think in the concept of an idea, the idea of taking advantage of somebody who doesn't know what they're getting themselves into, to me is such a betrayal and such a sick move. It's just such a sick move.
But you could make an argument that that is, you know, folded into the culture by, because it plays with the, like, you know, the manipulation and the power dynamic. I know maybe it won't feel as good for you, Chris, because you're not slapping it specifically.
But also Army Hammer. I mean,
that came out weird. I didn't mean it.
It's because it's slapping in BDSM, but you guys can present and talk about it.
Yeah, Chris keeps going back to BDSM.
But Army Hammer is part of the culture of the Hammermen, in my mind.
Oh,
sure. Like, all those fuckers, to me, should be in jail. And so you put the culture of the Hammermen, Army's in there. I don't know, in my mind. I mean, that's how it goes.
I get that. So that's I mean, he's not getting away with it because
he's going to jail.
Whole group,
yeah, he's just another iteration. I think he says at one point, like, each generation is doing the same thing. They're just wearing different clothes. I think he said there's a quote for him saying that. Or there's a clip of him saying that during some interview in the documentary. Wow. And I was like, Jesus, that's haunting.
Yeah.
But you could say they're just, you know, it's the next iteration of the Hammer, like, nightmare.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay, and then Chris gets the slap fake BDSM.
Yeah.
I mean,
you guys think I'm into that, don't you? You guys think I'm going to be really into that. Huh?
Yeah, whether fake consent BDSM, whether fake BDSM consents or not, you're slapping it.
Wow. I think only if BDSM slaps. No, yes.
I think okay. I'm going to ask for consent anyway.
Okay,
good. Good for you're a good guy.
Okay. Yeah. Fake BDSM, you're getting the big slap. The culture of the Hammermen. All of you guys, you're going to the alarmist jail.
Bye-bye.
See
I feel
ya.
Good about this. I feel we really good. Justice has been served.
Yes.
I think so too. And honestly, we couldn't have done it without you two.
Thank you. Can I ask one thing? Because you did a deep dive. That picture of him selling, like, vacations. Did you guys all see that? Like, where he was selling supposedly, like,
timeshares.
Was that real?
At the time, I think it, like, blew up, but I think it wasn't real.
Because
he grew up in the Cayman Islands.
Anyway. Yeah. He grew up in the Cayman Islands, and they have property in the Cayman Islands. And then after this all went down, it was like, oh, he's lost so much money. Now he's selling timeshares in the Cayman Islands.
Right.
That's
that was delightful. Yeah. I was hoping that was real.
I know. I wish.
Okay.
He probably has enough money that if he's doesn't.
He complains about that. He
has
said
no money now.
I don't know. Like, all those rich people always complain about it. I don't know, because they don't have as many millions as their parents had or whatever. But, like, I think he's still okay.
Yeah, I'm sure he still gets residuals.
Apparently, apparently he's in debt, but I don't care.
So am I. I'm in debt
care.
Too.
Join the club. You know, I don't care.
What's his credit score?
I hope it's low. I hope he has a low credit score.
Oh man!
Wow, Rebecca.
When he goes to get that Honda Civic, it is going to be a pricey monthly payment. Let me tell you.
So thank you. We have to take a moment here to give a shout out to our Patreon subscriber, Julia Dunham, who has who now we have a new wing at the Alarmist Jail named after Julia Dunham.
Yes.
Wow.
And she's getting the hammers.
The hammers are the first.
Oh, I'm so sorry. The hammers are in your part of the jail. Oh,
and also, this is so upsetting because the Catherine Cook wing has the royals, the Charles and the royals in
we
it.
Keep they were sending
the
first these richies ones. To the new
and
wings.
Then the hammers get to go and just live it up in this new wing.
In the new wing.
You know what? They all have to sit on hooks.
They all get one of those chairs.
And thrones with big holes in the middle. Yes. Come on.
No, they might like it too much. They're sitting on they're sitting on benches.
Yeah,
no backs, just benches.
Oh yeah. Oof. Lower back pain.
Work on your posture.
Church pews. Yeah.
Well, thanks again. And thank you so much for helping us get to the bottom of who's to blame for the cancellation of Armie Hammer. In the aftermath, after the accusations, Armie was immediately dropped by his agency. He was also fired from multiple projects he had in the works, including the Jennifer Lopez film Shotgun Wedding. In May of 2021, Armie checked into an inpatient facility for drug, alcohol, and sex issues and stayed there for the remainder of that year. He was never charged for the allegations that were made. The Alarmist is now on Patreon. Subscribe and get ad-free content along with bonus episodes. Go to patreon.com/thealarmist or check out the link in our show description. Visit our website, www.thealarmistpodcast.com, and follow us on Instagram, @thealarmistpodcast, and on Twitter, @alarmistthe. You can also send us your thoughts via email to thealarmistpodcast@gmail.com. Today's episode was produced and engineered by Clayton Early, with editing by Molly Hockey, and fact-checking by Chris Smith. Thank you to our associate producer and researcher, Crystal Dinsberg. The Alarmist is executive produced by Rebecca Delgado-Smith. Tune in next week. We'll be discussing the Dust Bowl. The Alarmist.
Powered by Acast.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Bowl and Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Bowl and Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bowlandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue checkmark next to that thing you love, and be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.